first, and then ravenously. It had a bean-like taste, but sweeter. Good enough for a starving man. Then, as his hunger ebbed, the sense of his situation returned with dismaying force. The huge, seal-like creature seated beside him became unbearably ominous. It seemed friendly, but it was very big, very black, and he knew nothing at all about it. What were its relations to the Sorns, and was it really as rational as it appeared? It was only many days later that Ransom discovered how to deal with these sudden losses of confidence. They arose when the rationality of the Hross tempted you to think of it as a man. Then it became abominable, a man 7 feet high with a snaky body, covered face and all with thick black animal hair and whiskered like a cat. But starting from the other end, you had an animal with everything an animal ought to have. Glossy coat, liquid eyes, sweet breath, and whitest teeth, and added to all these, as though paradise had never been lost and earliest dreams were true, the charm of speech and reason. Nothing could be more disgusting than the one impression, nothing more delightful than the other. It all depended on the point of view. Chapter 10. When Ransom had finished his meal and drunk again of the strong waters of Malacandra, his host rose and entered the boat. He did this head first, like an animal, his sinuous body allowing him to rest his hands on the bottom of the boat while his feet were still planted on the land. He completed the operation by flinging rump, tail, and hind legs all together about 5 feet into the air, and then whisking them neatly on board, with an agility which would have been quite impossible to an animal of his bulk on earth. Having got into the boat, he proceeded to get out again, and then pointed to it. Ransom understood that he was being invited to follow his example. The question which he wanted to ask above all others could not, of course, be put. Were the Hrossa? He discovered later that this was the plural of Hross, the dominant species on Malacandra, and the Sorns, despite their more man-like shape, merely a semi-intelligent kind of cattle. Fervently he hoped that it might be so. On the other hand, the Hrossa might be the domestic animals of the Sorns, in which case the latter would be super-intelligent. His whole imaginative training somehow encouraged him to associate superhuman intelligence with monstrosity of form and ruthlessness of will. To step on board the Hross's boat might mean surrendering himself to Sorns at the other end of the journey. On the other hand, the Hross's invitation might be a golden opportunity of leaving the Sorn-haunted forests forever. And by this time the Hross itself was becoming puzzled at his apparent inability to understand it. The urgency of its signs finally determined him. The thought of parting from the Hross could not be seriously entertained. Its animality shocked him in a dozen ways, but his longing to learn its language, and, deeper still, the shy, ineluctable...